This is Leeds Student Radio. This is Leeds Student Radio, and you're listening to Seasonal Soundbites on Leeds Student Radio. Happy Thursday, everyone. This is your mid-afternoon, topically themed pick-up and mix sort of show from 3:30 until 4. And last week, we escaped the British seasonal wintertime, and we had a Desert Island Disc special. But this week, seeing as it's the first December show on Thursday, the 4th of December, we're going to embrace British seasonality and the festive period. Later on, I'm going to play a Christmas track to get you in the festive mood if you're not in the festive mood already. But first of all, let's get started this week. This is Mos Def and Quiet Dog.
One thing I want to assure them, if they think I'm going to change or compromise in my attitude, in my way of life, or in my expression, or in my goal towards politics, they are making me stronger. And I'm much, much stronger now.
There go like chef on a plane, it's time on a basic Zulu arrangement, packing the basement, flocko, radio, I'm having a pavement. If only it's a face that you're not gonna play with, spend time making it, but that ain't changing it. Call giving to me, nobody taking it. Therefore, moving on a piece of stimulus, standing in the twilight, I'm watching you get it in the walls, trembling in the air, simmering, she moving like a board in the air, so listen, it won't matter. Test to your equilibrium, sign of fame booming all over your enemy, skin on skin. Skin on skin again, put it on, get it off, get on, get it in. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mr. Sis, that's the other end of the synonym. Here it is, Boogeyman. Ha.
That was Mos Def with Quiet Dog. This is Seasonal Soundbites on Leeds Student Radio every Thursday 3:30 until 4. The theme for this week's show, we're having a poetically themed show because on Monday I went to an event called Mistletoe and Rhyme, which was jointly run by the Spoken Word Society, the Jazz and Blues Society and the Mind Matter Society. And I had a chat with the amazing spoken word artist Jack Dean, which I'm going to play a little bit later for you all. And also, obviously, we're in the festive month, and so I'm going to play a Christmas track coming up later. And this week, actually, my mum sent me up an advent calendar. And it wasn't chocolate for once, but it's got Christmas-themed jokes for every day. So as we're sort of on a lyrical, poetical theme this week, I'm gonna give you one of the jokes that was in one of my windows. I can't remember which one it was because they all sort of just blur into one. But this is the joke. Why is it always cold at Christmas? It's not a particularly sophisticated joke. See if you can guess the punchline. I'm going to play you a track next. This is called New Jarvis and Love Sick. That was New Jarvis with Love Sick. This is Charlie on Lee Student Radio. So the punchline to my advent calendar joke, why is it always cold at Christmas, was because it's December. There we go. Yeah. So, wow, you heard it here first. Moving on, I interviewed Jack Dean on Monday night because he was performing at the Faversham in this sort of fairy lit conservatory. And if you like spoken word and lyrical wonderfulness, then you should definitely check him out. He had a little chat to me, but while we were having our interview, the Jazz and Blues Society started up all their music in the other room. And so I'm going to play the interview now, but if you can't hear what he says, I hope you can make him out, because there's sort of amazing jazz and blues in the background. Or if you just want to enjoy the jazz and blues in the background, then that's cool as well. So this is the spoken word poet Jack Dean talking to me on Monday at the Faversham.
Hello future people. Hello Thursday people. What's it like in the Thursday future?
How did you get started in spoken word?
I was originally a rapper in a pretty terrible punk hip hop crossover band. When I went to uni, there was a sort of spoken word, performance poetry, they called it, society there, and they sort of hit me out of an open mic when I was doing like some really aggy bars about how deep and heavy I am. And then they sort of picked me off the street and were like, you can develop this into spoken word, you can make this into something a bit more conversational and a bit more performative and a bit more interesting. So I was doing creative writing and drama at the time, so I was interested in that sort of cross section of hip hop and theatre and poetry and stuff, and sort of literary stuff and the more sort of fun hip hop stuff sort of connected. And then I sort of did some research and looked at all the sort of American slam poets and the jam poets, and they were a huge sort of early inspiration to me, and I sort of, I built my style on that. Yeah, I guess I like to sort of play with different levels of energies and try not to sort of fuss too much about making it too finessed, because I think that maybe takes it away from it and stuff, and that's not what spoken word is about, but I don't know.
Yeah. I read that you were in a male beauty contest.
I wasn't in one, scratch that, okay. On the record. I did gig at one. I used that in my blow because it's just a weird sort of conversation style. Yeah, it was a very, very strange gig called Erotic Poetry in Hackney. And to audition for it, I had to write an erotic poem, and then I had to say it down the phone at the promoter, who I'd never met before in my life. And I was like, I'm sure I should be charging like $120 a minute for this stuff. There were like these proper hench men who were sort of asking questions in a sort of blind date sort of way. The first half, first third, and then we went on, did poems, and were judged on them. I didn't do well. And then there was a third, where they all came out pretty much almost completely naked, but for some pants, and did some flexing and oiling. I was like, well, this is something. This is either the end of time or the start of a new era of humanity. It was very, very weird and very awful. It's a classic piece of banter amongst poets, I guess. Yeah. Your worst gig. That wasn't necessarily the worst, but it was super weird. I don't know. I burned that sexy poem after that because I was traumatised. Like, for me, that nervous energy of having people's eyes on you and having people responding to you is that's a really positive energy for me. For me, it's a real buzz and it's a massive adrenaline hit. And as someone who doesn't really do any sports, that's kind of... or many drugs, it's kind of how I get my buzz, really.
You were really influenced by hip hop kind of music. How much is it about the music influence, and how much of it is about like the poetic lyrical?
For me, there's no divide. So, transitioned a lot more into theatre, I guess, these days. So I would say, hip hop is a sort of stylistic influence on everything I do, really. Like, hip hop is not just sort of rapping or like 4/4 beats and the 95 BPM tempo. It's sort of about an idea of taking elements and rearranging them. And so that's a huge thing for me. It's just sort of, so in my theatre shows, I will take lots of bits and use vocal samples and use elements of plot and narrative and physical stuff and just blur them up and try and make a collage out of them. And I think that's sort of that hip-hop ethos of taking something old and making something new is really important to me. The show I'm plugging at the moment, but will actually have happened by the time this radio show goes out. It's called Threnody for the Sky Children, and it's a reworking of a book called Metamorphoses by Ovid. So it's a kind of a zombie apocalypse version of that, where a guy lives in a small regional town, and then everyone around him starts turning into animals. And he sort of flees to the attic of his parents' house and starts picking through his past to try and uncover why it happened and what led him up to this stuff. And slowly picks through these failed relationships and his own childhood past, and it slowly leads into this revelation about what it's all really about, which I'm not going to give away because it's a spoiler. So that's kind of like a modern sort of pop culture reworking of a classic, which I really like doing. It's a tricky one. Like, money and art, it's kind of just a perpetual sort of thing. The problem for me, without sounding a bit too rehab post-rehab Russell Brand, like, the problem is so much bigger than how much the government gives to a quango, which in turn given to a series of theatres and art galleries, which don't give any money to artists. The problem is about how we live in this country. The countries that have really thriving arts, leaving out the S, are places like Germany and France and the US and Canada, where you can live incredibly cheaply, and without censorship and without sort of persecution and stuff. So we need to create a society that values humans. We don't need just the living wage for artists. We don't need more funding for arts organisations. We need more value for humans and more money for people that do good things, and less money for hedge funds and BAE Systems and Lockheed Martin. So that for me is like, I was drawn to a quote. I always bring up a quote when people ask me about that stuff, that came up when I was researching my dissertation, which is, of course artists should oppose the war in Vietnam, as should dentists. Like, so of course there's political problems in the arts, but they are a tiny microcosm of a sort of bigger problem. I think art is just a social interaction, you know, it's not this separated, sanctified thing that needs a stream of government revenue. It's everything. It's crochet, it's interior decorating, it's fashion, it's
breakfast.
It's breakfast, yeah. Particularly if you're on Instagram. But brought me back to my uni days, and I wrote it in my third year at uni, and I used to go up to my partner's house in Birmingham, and they'd have these incredibly hipstery house parties where they'd stay up till 4 a.m. and play remixes of XX songs or whatever, and just drink ridiculous drinks and just dance constantly, and it would just be knackering. Me and my partner would be in bed, like, in the next room, just be like, stop now, yes, we know Lil Wayne is good, stop now. But that's kind of fun in a way, and I kind of miss it in a weird way. Interviews are weird.
They are, aren't they?
Play some Lil Wayne!
That was Jack Dean talking to me on Monday night at the Mistletoe and Rhyme event at the Faversham. Long live ridiculously hipster house parties. I tried to find a non-explicit Lil Wayne song to play for Jack, but I couldn't find anything which was non-explicit, I'm afraid. So instead, I'm going to say that if you want to listen to more spoken word and poetry, you should tune in to Waxing Lyrical every Sunday, 8 to 9 on LSR, for sexy sounds and sensuous spoken word. Jack sort of mentioned, got a bit political at the end there, and I'm going to, coming up next on Lucent Radio at 4 p.m. is Political Animal, so we're going to roll with the political vibe for a little bit, because I'm about to play a very distinct poetical and political Christmas carol, which was produced by the Leads Against TTIP, which is pronounced TTIP campaigners. And if you haven't heard of TTIP before, it's a bilateral trade agreement which is being negotiated at the moment between the European Union and the USA in secret. And if it's passed, it's basically sort of an assault on our democracy, which is going to threaten all our public services and things like that. So if you're sort of wondering what on earth I'm talking about, have a listen to the lyrics of this next track coming up. And then if you want to find out more, you can join the Leads Against TTIP Facebook group. But this is their Christmas carol, TTIP Rock.
TTIP is good for me. Sign the agreement and we will have won. Now the power grab has begun. TTIP makes money for me. Give us the power to sue governments, incorporate courts, regulations in your nations, just sign them all away. Trade agreements are a great chance to crush workers' historical gains. Hurry up, ministers sign on the line before it gets too late. Public mobilization is building steam. Keep it secret. Never leak it. That's the TTIP.
The sound of students in Leeds. This is Leeds Student Radio.
That was the TTIP Christmas Carol there, and they've got another song, another Christmas song as well, which I think they're going to be publishing soon. So if you're interested, then look on their Facebook group. I'm going to play you another track now. This is Nidia by Kylo. Kylo with Nidia. This is Seasonal Soundbites. Well, we're sort of coming to the end of the show. We've had kind of a mismatch this week. We talked poetry and a bit of politics, but I've saved the best for last because tonight at the Nation of Shopkeepers is Leeds Student Radio event, The Transmission. The music team have been working really hard and they basically pulled together an amazing lineup of Leeds local bands, and from 11 p.m. there's going to be funk and soul DJ, so everyone should head on down there and just shake off all the winter blues and get nice and warm and cosy inside the Nation of Shopkeepers. I don't know if any of you remember, in my very first Seasonal Soundbite show, I chatted to a guy called Ollie about cauliflowers, and Ollie just keeps on giving because his band Jasper House are playing tonight at Leeds Student Radio and they're amazing, so you should definitely go and check them out. Everything kicks off at 7:30 and tickets are £4.50 on the door. And to get you in the mood, I thought I'd play a Christmas track to end the show this week, but it's a funk and soul Christmas track to get you in the mood for tonight. And coming up next is Political Animal on Leeds Student Radio, and then next week on Seasonal Soundbites we're going to have a festive disco December special, so please tune in for that 3:30 to 4. This is Santa's Got a Bag of Soul.